Hi everyone, I'm so glad you are here. Welcome to the Healing Multigenerational Pain and Trauma, You and Your Ancestors live class. So to get started, let's all just pause for a moment and take a breath. Depending on what time zone you are in, this could be the end of your day, it might even be the beginning. So let's just all start by giving ourselves a little appreciation and gratitude for taking the time to be here for this class live. And I'm going to take a moment and call in our healthy ancestors now to hold the space for this class. I call out to the bright, healthy ancestors of myself, Larissa Noonan, and to all of the loving, bright, healthy, protective ancestors of those both live on this call and those listening to the recording. Fill this space with your presence, with your love and your comfort, ancestors. Fill this space with your peace and your protection. Remind us of who you are, of how you feel, and remind us of who each of us are and what each of us is here to do on this earth now. Guide this call, ancestors. Make it useful. Thank you. Okay, as most of you know, I'm Larissa Noonan. I help mostly women, a few men here and there as well, heal trauma and chronic pain, connect deeply with and listen to your bodies, to nature, to spirit, and recover your natural power and wholeness so that you can know and live your sacred purpose and be the greatest contribution possible to yourself, to your family, your community, and the earth. And again, I want to welcome you here. I'm so glad you have taken the time to join me for this class today. If you are like most of my clients, you are likely here because you have noticed unhealthy patterns running through your family or your life that you want to shift and help and heal. You might even be a parent and have concern about passing dysfunctional or unhealthy patterns onto your children. Maybe you've had a loved one pass and you want to know how to connect and talk with them. Maybe you experience really stuck patterns like anxiety or overwhelm, chronic pain, purposelessness, scarcity, difficult relationships in your life that have not responded to other healing methods or modalities. Maybe you have challenging or painful relationships with certain or all of your family members, and you would like to feel at peace with them. Or perhaps you have difficulty making decisions or knowing what is right for you, and you would like clarity, loving guidance, and creative inspiration. So regardless of which of the above, of which you are struggling with, or for how long you've been struggling with that thing, I want you to know that you are not alone, that you are in the right place, and that this class will support you to deepen into an authentic, loving relationship with yourself and with your healthy ancestors. It will give you tools to begin to work with your healthy ancestors to shift these patterns of pain and disconnect so that you can experience the love and support and blessings of a healthy, vibrant lineage and stand in your true power, supported, loved, capable of giving your true gifts to the world. I want to share just a little bit more about myself for those of you who are new to my community. I'm here teaching this class because I struggled with everything I just mentioned. Anxiety, difficulty making decisions, painful relationships with family members, everything. And today I'm on the other side of many of these issues. For example, my relationship with my mother, which was once very painful, has completely transformed. And I'm now a mother myself, and this is something that I vowed would never happen because I didn't want to pass on our family's dysfunction. And I don't hold that fear anymore. I receive guidance, love, support, wisdom from my ancestors on a daily basis, and I no longer struggle making decisions or knowing what is right for me or my family. I'm not talking about small shifts here. I'm talking about my entire life becoming more aligned, me knowing on a deep level who I am, where I come from, and what I'm here to do. And I'll share more of my story throughout the call, but for now, I want you to know that it is my great honor and my purpose to share all of what I'm about to share with you. It has been through many years of searching and learning about and doing healing work that I've discovered what what for me is the missing piece. What is the root cause of so much of the pain and suffering in my life and in the life of those I work with? That missing piece is the ancestors and the role they play both in the stuck patterns of pain in our lives today and in helping to shift and heal these patterns. And that is what we're going to talk about today. But before we get to the main content, let's go over the agenda. And the class today is going to be about 60 to 75 minutes. Let your loved ones know, your family, whoever you're, wherever you are, let them know that this is you time and ask them to not disturb you. And keep in mind that this is a sacred topic that we're talking about. We're talking about our relationships to ourselves, to our families, including those who have passed. We're talking about, you know, wounds and trauma and healing. So bring a little bit of sacredness in, however that might look for you, if it's lighting a candle, having some wine or tea or some water close to you. If you like taking notes, you can have your journal handy. And I ask that you keep an open mind and a compassionate, curious heart. We're going to be talking about some things that might bring up some discomfort or resistance. And that's okay. If you do notice discomfort arising, acknowledge it, breathe into it, settle a bit more into your body, and just know that it's okay. So I have quite a bit of content today. I might be able to take some questions towards the end of the class. And I might not. So what I'm going to suggest is that if you do have questions come up for you during the class, that you write them down. And if I am not able to answer questions at the end, you can email them to me at larissa@larissanoonan.com, and I'll give you that address again. And I will respond to your email, to your question personally. So let's do a brief overview of what we're going to be covering today. We're going to talk about how to identify patterns of multi-generational trauma. We're going to talk about how these wounds originally occurred and how they are passed from one generation to the next. We're going to talk about why all the healing work that you've done so far hasn't led to the resolution you desire. We're going to establish that we all do have healthy ancestors. And we're going to talk about four concrete steps that you can take to begin to establish a conscious relationship with your healthy ancestors to begin to bring some healing and resolution to whatever your particular patterns of struggle are that you've identified. So before we dive into the content, I want everyone to pause again and to take a breath. It doesn't have to be deep. Just notice that you are breathing. We're going to step just a bit more into our bodies before proceeding. So look around you. Name 3 to 5 things that you see in your environment. Tune into your sense of hearing and name 3 sounds that you hear. Notice the feel of the air and the space around you, your clothing touching your skin. If you're in a safe place to do so, do not do this if you're driving, for example. Let your vision soften and blur slightly, and just drop your awareness into your body. And notice any areas of pain or tension. Just notice and acknowledge these areas. Say hello. And now shift your attention and notice any areas of softness, of expansion, areas that feel good to you today, whatever that means to you right now. And say hello to these areas. And now see if you can notice both the areas of tension and the areas of expansion at the same time. All parts of you are welcome here. Nothing needs to change. You are welcome just as you are. Now slowly rock your pelvis forward and back, noticing how your weight transfers through your chair, if you're sitting on a chair and into the floor. Perhaps shift your weight side to side, really focusing on the sensation of your weight dropping through the bones of your pelvis. And allow your physical weight to bring more of you fully into your body and into this present moment. And know that if at any time you experience resistance or discomfort, you can pause and orient to your environment and to your body like we just did, naming objects around you, tuning into your hearing, feeling the air, your clothes, rocking your pelvis, and feeling the weight of your physical body. These are simple, effective tools. And we'll talk a bit more about the importance of this simple practice towards the end of the call. But for now, let's dive into this really deep topic. Let's dive into multi-generational pain and trauma. I want to begin by acknowledging that this can be a difficult and challenging subject. Many of us have painful relationships with our families. Many of us have suffered or continue to suffer at the hands of relatives. This pain can take many forms, from physical to emotional to sexual abuse, to neglect, to not being seen or valued for who we are. All of that plus anything and everything in between. This is very real pain. And I want to acknowledge your courage in showing up for this class, in being willing to take a look at your life and the patterns running through it from the perspective of multi-generational healing. I want to acknowledge your courage in being willing to consider working in this way to bring healing into your life and into your lineage as well. So thank you again for being here. To begin, let's briefly define a couple key terms. First, what is multi-generational pain and trauma? Multi-generational trauma occurs when something painful happens, and healing is not attained within the lifetime of the individual who experienced the pain. These wounds are then passed down from one generation to the next, continually seeking healing. We'll talk about how and why this happens in greater depth throughout this class. The key to healing these wounds lies both in engaging in our own self-healing journey and in enlisting the help of our healthy ancestors to do repair work for our lineage. We will talk about how to do this as well during this class. And then the second term that I want to define is ancestors. For the purpose of this class, when I use the word ancestor, I am referring to those of your bloodline who lived before you, but who are no longer living. For example, your grandmother, assuming she is no longer living, is your ancestor, as are her parents and their parents and their parents all the way back through time. So now that we've defined ancestors, let's talk a little bit about where we all come from, about our common, healthy ancestors. Because regardless of the current state of your family, we all do have healthy ancestors as well in our lineages. So let's imagine back to a time that lives in all of our memories somewhere, all the way back to Africa, to where the sand bushmen make their home, deeply connected to the earth, to their ancestors, and to spirit. This is where, according to current genetic analysis, we all come from. If any one of us goes back far enough, all of our lineages originate in Africa, in a tribal setting akin to the Bushmen of today. We all had ropes to God, to the Creator, to Spirit. We all were part of a culture where the unique gifts of each individual were honored and cultivated, where healing ceremonies were held when someone was hurt, injured, forgot who they were, or were broken, whether in body or in spirit in some way. We were all part of a culture where those who passed were tended with care, were grieved in community, were remembered, and who were made certain through divination and ceremony that they made it all the way from this world into the world of the healthy ancestors, so that their lives and their gifts could join the river of ancestral energy flowing through the living and into the future generations. Imagine with me how it might have felt to live in this way, to be this deeply connected to community, to the earth, to your own sacred purpose, to have your purpose seen and valued by your community, to be this deeply connected to those who have walked before you, to your ancestors, to feel their loving presence and to receive their guidance every day. Can you feel it? That memory lies within each of us, dormant perhaps, perhaps not. Perhaps this memory lies beneath layers and layers of guarding, covering walls of grief. Grief for all that has been lost, for all that has been trampled and destroyed. Or perhaps for you, this grief is close to the surface. Maybe you feel it often. Maybe you've even had a sense or an understanding of where it comes from. If you do feel grief rising here, know that it is natural. It is normal. So much has been lost, and there is so much to be reclaimed, to be reintegrated into our lives now. It's kind of a mixed bag, grief and hope. Grief for what has been lost. Hope for what might, for how things might change, for the healing that can and will happen if more of these lost ways are remembered and brought back to life in a way that works for and meets the needs of the modern world. Because we can't go back exactly to how things were, and we likely don't want to. Clear running water directly in our sinks, modern plumbing, things like this are quite nice. My point so far is that no matter how complicated or painful your relationships with your current or recently dead family members might be, we all have healthy, vibrant ancestors who we can call on as well. We all have ancestors who were at one time deeply connected to the earth, to spirit, who lived in communities where they were seen and valued, and where the gifts, blessings, and strengths of past generations flowed through to future generations. This is great news. It means that each of us has access to a deep, deep well of support, love, and guidance, a well that has likely been untapped, at least not consciously, up to this point. And I am going to, towards the end of the call, give you 4 steps you can take to connect with your healthy ancestors to help you access this well of love and support now. But now, let's talk a little bit about how this flow of healthy, vital, ancestral wisdom and guidance is broken. So what breaks this stream of health and vitality? Why are we now, today, experiencing so much pain and stuckness in our lives that can be traced back through the generations? Why do we no longer have access to the full gifts of our lineage? The answer varies from person to person, from generation to generation, but in general, it is trauma of some kind that interrupts the flow. Not just a traumatic event, but a traumatic event that was unresolved or unhealed within the lifetime of the person experiencing it. Some examples of trauma can include, on a more community or regional level, things like war, genocide, plagues, natural disasters, religious or other persecution, violence in general, or on a more personal or familial level, possible trauma could include things like abandonment, neglect, rape, the death of a child or the early death of a parent, being shamed or humiliated, especially in a public way, non-fatal accidents that result in chronic pain or depression. The list is endless. This flow of ancestral love and wisdom can also be interrupted through loss of knowledge. For example, the healer, the hunter, the ceremonial leader of a village dying before being able to fully pass on their knowledge and skills. Or perhaps it's simply not being safe for them to pass on their knowledge and skills to the next generation, leaving a sense of unexplained loss, of grief, or a lack of direction and purpose that then passes from one generation to the next. What is important to remember is that if a traumatic event occurs and is not healed within the lifetime of the one who experienced it, it will continue to play out over and over, generation after generation after generation. We'll talk about why and how this is in a bit. But the main point is that they will keep playing out because they are still seeking healing, and they will continue seeking healing until they find healing, because we are our spirits are always seeking a return to health and to wholeness. So let's pause here again and take a breath. This is some pretty intense stuff that we're talking about, especially when we are talking about it in light of what our own families might have experienced, or what we might even have experienced ourselves in our own lives today. And it's important to keep in mind that no matter how much trauma or pain our ancestors faced, they survived. The lineage continued all the way to us. The very fact that we are here, alive today, indicates that there is more health and more resilience in our lineage than there is unreconciled trauma. This is good news. Yes, there is work to be done. Yes, healing is needed. Yes, things can be better and our lives can be perhaps dramatically improved. And the scales are already balanced in our favor. So I'd like to transition now to talking about how you might experience multi-generational trauma in your life. And we are going to talk about three ways the wounds of past generations might be affecting your life now. And the first way is when behaviors are identical from one generation to the next. And this is the most obvious pattern that you might see. It is when there is a clear pattern of something running from one generation to the next. So, for instance, your grandfather was an alcoholic, your father is an alcoholic, your sister is an alcoholic, or you struggle with addiction yourself. Or perhaps your grandmother suffered from depression, as does your mother and your sister. So it's this clear pattern, the same thing from one generation to the next. The second way that multi-generational trauma can show up in your life is through patterns of pain that do appear to have a source in our own lives. Patterns where we can say, oh, I feel this way because this happened. A kind of generic example would be having been cheated on in one relationship and then being very afraid of that happening again in your next relationship. It's pretty easy to say, oh, I hold this fear because it already happened to me. Another example, this one more from my own life, would be that I had really severe cranial trauma when I was born. And for most of my life, I've had intense headaches and migraines, and I have been repeatedly hit in the head, basketballs, volleyballs, tennis balls, me just standing up and randomly hitting my head in the corner of a shelf. And you know, that also seems pretty straightforward. Cranial trauma at birth leads to more cranial trauma and headaches as my body tries to, you know, work through this pattern and basically just ends up compounding it. Except as I looked into my lineage, there is within my lineage a long history of both traumatic births and headaches. So did this pattern begin with my birth? Or was it a pattern that just is continuing to play out from past generations? We may never know for certain because most of us don't know much about our ancestry, not even about the more recently passed generations. But I would guess that even in cases where our chronic pain or our fears and our dysfunctional patterns seem to have a clear origination in our lives, that the pattern itself didn't originate in our lives, that it also has a root in our lineage. And we'll talk a bit more about how to determine whether a pattern is solely yours, but whether it might have a root in your ancestry in a moment. Before we do that, let's take a look at the third way multi-generational trauma can show up in your life. And this is the most tricky one. So the third way that multi-generational trauma can show up in your life is through feelings or thoughts or physical sensations that seem out of place considering your personal history. There is a very good chance that many, if not all, of the unexplained, challenging feelings we experience did not originate with us, but rather originated with an ancestor somewhere back in our lineage. And this is something else that I can speak to myself, or for myself. For most of my adult life, I've experienced intense fear of abandonment. This fear would be evoked whenever my partner wanted to do things without me, when he met new people, especially women, or if he became interested in some new hobby or practice. I was terrified he would leave me for another woman. Even more, I was terrified he would discover some grand purpose or interest that would take him from me. This fear even spilled over into, you know, the thought of having children, because I was convinced that if I did have a child, I'd be at home by myself taking care of them without any support while my husband went off, or my partner went off and had grand adventures. Keep in mind that there is nothing in my personal history to support this fear. I haven't been abandoned. My parents didn't abandon me. My partners have not abandoned me. And yet this fear was so intense to the point of panic and overwhelm and me doing everything possible to control situations so that it wouldn't happen, so that I wouldn't be abandoned. As I was looking into my lineage, I began to have some understanding. One of my great-grandmothers was left at home with her children, with children to care for, while her husband pursued his career, his passion. He was an evangelical minister and would leave for months, like an entire winter, to go on the road preaching, leaving his wife with 8 children and little to no money or food, and no way of getting money or food. There is a very real possibility that my great-grandmother was not able to find much healing or reconciliation around this pattern of abandonment and lack of support during her lifetime. There is a very good chance that the bitterness and anger and fear she felt was passed on to her children and eventually on to me. I offer this story to illustrate my point that sometimes our feelings are not fully ours, and to say that if you experience something like this, I'm sorry, because this is really, really hard. It is so painful to have such intense feelings without any reason for them, without being able to understand why something is so strong and overwhelming. And I'm here to say that there likely is a reason, and these feelings both are and are not yours. They are yours. Well, let's start with they are not yours, because they did not originate with you. They are yours in that since you are the one living now and you are the one experiencing them now, they are yours. And we'll return to this point in just a minute, but first let's talk about how to determine whether a pattern is solely yours or whether it might have a root in your ancestry. In my experience, a good way to know whether or not something is solely yours is whether or not other methods you've worked with have been successful. So for instance, prior to beginning to work with my ancestors, I really worked hard to resolve this fear of abandonment I talked about earlier. I did therapy, really good body-centered therapy, body work, trauma work, acupuncture, meditation, mindfulness, you name it. And while all of that did help me to acknowledge the feelings and be with them versus act out in non-beneficial ways, the pattern itself remained. And I'm guessing that you, like me, have tried really hard to shift whatever your stuck and painful patterns are, whether they are emotional or physical or spiritual, feeling broken, lost, or confused. I'm guessing you've worked with really effective healers or spiritual practices or counselors wherever your particular path has taken you. And I'm here to say, if these painful patterns have not shifted, it's not your fault. If they haven't shifted, it's because they aren't solely yours and a different kind of help is needed. So in summary, these really stuck patterns of pain and struggle, one, are likely not yours. They likely originated in someone else's lifetime. And yet, two, they are yours because they are showing up in your life now. Three, you therefore, because you are the one experiencing them now, have the opportunity to help this pattern find reconciliation. And you always have choice here. You can not help it as well. And four, you have support in this. You are not alone. You do not have to do all the work yourself. And we'll talk more about this point soon. And again, these 4 points apply to all the stuck and painful patterns you experience in your life, the ones with no explicable cause, and the ones that seemingly have a clear cause as well, but that have not yet resolved. All right, so we're going to shift gears slightly now and talk about how these wounds are passed from generation to generation. And we're going to start by looking at it through the lens of science. the relatively new science of epigenetics is showing that trauma literally changes our DNA. It has been shown that when trauma occurs, methyl groups attach to genes, altering the healthy, normal expression of those genes, including the behavior associated with them. This genetic change is then transmitted across generations. So, for instance, a person can go from being, you know, a pretty calm, balanced person to have some traumatic event, and then all of a sudden they might be violent and angry, and then the next generations can be predisposed more towards violence and anger versus calmness. Or you might go from being a positive, happy person to more of a depressed or hopeless person. So the good news here is that when healing or reconciliation of the trauma occurs, the methyl group is removed from the gene, the previous healthy behavior is restored, and the healthy expression of the gene is then passed on to future generations. So you can go back to being a calm, positive person. So it's pretty exciting that science is now beginning to study all of this and to understand how it works on a genetic level. I find it very exciting. However, indigenous cultures with a focus on ancestor reverence, like the Zagara tribe in Burkina Faso, where my primary teacher, Aladoma Somme, was born, have known about these things for thousands of years. These cultures with a focus on ancestor reverence have a specific worldview that informs how they work with multi-generational trauma. This is an approach based in animism, the belief that all things contain intelligent life and that we are in relationship with all things, with all beings. Most modern people tend to think that it is only humans who are truly alive or who are animated. We might convey some sense of intelligent life to the domesticated animals we love, but that is about the extent of it. Animism, on the other hand, respects and honors the life, the beingness in all things, in rocks, in trees, in all animals, in the earth, the waters, everything. Everything has a spirit that is alive, that is intelligent, that is worthy of respect, of consideration, and of relationship. Humans also have spirit, of course, something that exists beyond our physical bodies. When the physical body of a person dies, the spirit remains, can be interacted with, and can have a positive or negative effect on those still living. There is also this understanding that while death is an initiation in itself, it is not always enough to help the spirit of the person cross all the way from our world, the land of the living, into the world of the healthy ancestors. And that often the state that a person is in when they die is the state that their spirit remains in after death. So if my grandfather wasn't a very nice man while living, there is a good chance that his spirit is not very nice now that he is no longer living. The grandfather was unwell when living, his spirit is equally unwell now that he's passed. So it is these unwell spirits, these spirits who are in the bodies of people who experience trauma or lack of love in some way, who have not managed to cross fully into the ancestral realm and are therefore stuck in this world, that feed on the living, causing and perpetuating the stuck patterns of stress, of pain, and of dysfunction we experience in our lives today. Whether it is addiction, abuse, scarcity, abandonment, neglect, not being seen, purposelessness, all of it. The root of our stuck patterns lies in these hungry ghosts. It might seem a little scary or discomforting to imagine being surrounded by the ghosts of unwell ancestors. However, keep in mind you are already experiencing their effects in your life. Knowing that you are surrounded by ghosts won't change your actual experience because, again, you are already and have been for your entire life experiencing their effects. The good news side of this is that through looking at the patterns of stuckness and pain in your life as being rooted in the unwell spirits of your ancestors, we are given a new approach to transforming our stuck patterns. It is through enlisting the help and the assistance of our healthy ancestors to bring healing and love to these hungry ghosts to do repair work for our lineage, that healing and resolution occurs both for the hungry ghosts and within our own lives as well. So remember when I said that these patterns both are and are not ours, and that they both are and are not our responsibilities? They are our responsibility. They are our responsibility because they have landed in our lap, in our lifetime. Our lives in some way are being affected by the unwell ancestors of our lineage. And as we are currently the ones at the head of our lineage, the ones currently the most affected by the trauma and wounds of past generations, we have the opportunity, if we choose, to seek healing and reconciliation for these patterns with the help of our healthy ancestors. Okay, I want to take a brief pause here and give everyone an opportunity to process what we've covered so far. If you have a journal close or something to write on, grab it. And if you don't, that's fine too. I'm going to ask you three questions, and you can either write or you can just reflect on the questions. So the first question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being no impact and 10 being off the charts impact, how much of an impact do you see your lineage having on your life? And 2, what do you see as the biggest struggle or the most stuck pattern in your life? And 3, if you could wave a magic wand and this problem or pattern would be gone, how might your life look or feel? And before we move on, let's all take another moment to look around our room and name a couple of objects and to tune into our hearing again. Maybe rock your weight, your pelvis from side to side. And really come back again into our bodies and into this present moment. And now we're going to begin to talk about what is needed to begin to heal all of this stuff we've been talking about so far. The multi-generational pain and trauma, and the hungry ghost. And in my experience, this resolution happens through two intertwined paths. The first path is doing our own healing work, so working with our own personal trauma, whatever it is that shows how things show up in our lives as they show up. So working with our own personal trauma, the challenging sensations and the stuck patterns that they show up in our lives, using whatever tools are available to us. Trauma work, energy work, ceremony, ritual, meditation, counseling, mindfulness, and keeping in mind our ancestors and holding an intention for their healing as well as we do our healing work. And the second path is, like I've mentioned a couple times, enlisting the help of our healthy ancestors and asking them to do repair work for our lineage, to heal the hungry ghosts, and to bring the health, vitality, blessings, and strengths of our lineages through all of the generations to and through us. And now we're going to transition into talking about the tangible things you can do to begin to cultivate a strong, collaborative relationship with your healthy ancestors. Because that is where it begins. We don't go out and work with the hungry ghost directly. Instead, we get to know our healthy ancestors. From there, after that connection is established and has been fed for a while, we can begin to work with the healthy ancestors to repair the generations between them and us, to bring healing to the hungry ghosts, and to restore the flow of love and blessings of a healthy lineage. So let's begin by talking about what people tend to experience when first connecting with their healthy ancestors. In general, when people first connect with their healthy ancestors, they have one or more of three experiences. One, they connect with their healthy ancestors and feel nothing. Two, they connect in and feel deep love and support. Three, they connect in and feel grief. When I first connected with my ancestors, I tapped into a vast well of grief. It took 10 days for this well to be emptied, for all the tears that needed to be cried and released. I didn't know at the time that that was normal, that this could be a normal experience. All I knew was that my entire eternal world was falling apart over and over and over. Every little thing would trigger me into new depths of grief. The only time I felt any sense of comfort or centeredness during those 10 days was when I went to my altar and poured out the grief and told my ancestors how horrible everything was. I would leave feeling calm, centered, restored, and then some new depth of grief would surface and it would all begin again. Eventually, the grief did abate and I settled into a new place, a much more grounded, centered, and connected state than ever before. And I began to notice some new things, some pretty surprising things. For instance, when I went to my ancestor altar, I could feel them and I could hear them. I would light my candle, call them in, and they would show up, and I would have this sense of being wrapped in comfort and love. It was amazing. And then something even stranger happened, but I'll tell you that in a moment. First, I want to say that my story is on the extreme end of things. My experience of falling into this huge well of grief seems to be a bit atypical. As I've worked with others, helping them to connect with their healthy ancestors, the process tends to be much gentler for most people. Most fall into one of the first two categories, experiencing a deep sense of love and comfort, or feeling nothing initially. And if you happen to be one of those who feels nothing initially, know that this also does tend to shift pretty quickly as you begin to learn how you sense things and how you sense your ancestors in particular. And I want you to know that if you do happen to be one who experiences grief when you first or at any point connect in, that it's okay. That is normal. Just stay with it. Give yourself lots of space to grieve. Reach out for help if needed. And remember, it will pass. It might not feel like it will, but it will. And when it does pass, you will have access to something new as well. And the suggestions that I'm about to give you for connecting with your ancestors will help assure that your experience is gentler. I jumped in without any guidance or protection. Basically, I didn't know what I was doing, and you will be much better prepared than I was. Okay, so back to the other surprising thing that happened after my 10 days of grieving. My dreams changed. Up to that point in my life, the majority of my life and my dreams had been very dark and frightening. For instance, me in some creepy landscape like a cornfield or a dark city, alone, surrounded by dark forces and untrustworthy people. But not long after I began connecting with my ancestors, I awoke one morning with a realization that my dreams had changed. There was still a lot of darkness, a lot of confusion and fear. But now there were also people showing up who I innately knew I could trust. We would find creative ways to outwit the untrustworthy forces and to escape the scary places. It was rather unbelievable, actually, and since then I've continued to have allies show up for me in my dreams. I'm no longer alone, even in my dreams. I share this part of my story in particular because these dark dreams were so much a part of me that they seemed rooted in the very core of my being. I'd never even considered that they might change. I share this to illustrate that we don't really know what is going to happen, what is going to change through doing this work. Things that we think are at the very core of who we are, that we haven't even considered asking for help for, have the potential to shift. Everything can change. So have hope. And now here are four recommendations for developing a conscious, mutually beneficial relationship with your healthy ancestors. The first one is to learn about them. We already spoke in depth about this step in the audio lesson on your gift page. In summary, how far back can you trace your ancestry? What are their names? Where do they live? Where do their lives fit into greater historical events? What challenges did they face? You can take a look at the history of the region where they lived for clues with regards to war, famine, plague, Roman or other occupation, etc. In your audio lesson, I talk about how to do this and mention the way to make this process simpler, as it can be a bit overwhelming, especially at first. I do recommend listening to that lesson if you haven't already. The second suggestion is to create an altar specifically for your healthy ancestors. As one of my teachers, Daniel Four, has said, you either have a conscious or unconscious relationship with your ancestors. Either is okay. If it is unconscious, though, you become the altar, and all the ancestral patterns continue to be played out through you, through your life. We don't want our bodies, our lives, to be the altar. So a simple first step is to create, well, second step for right now, is to create an actual altar, an external representation of this relationship where we can interact with these energies in a conscious manner. So let's spend a little bit of time talking about altar basics. What I'm going to share with you now is based on the teachings of Maladomo Somei, and I'm offering them here as a starting point for discovering how to relate with your own ancestors. So it can be nice to start with a red cloth and a red candle. And if you happen to be part of a tradition where the ancestors are honored and there is a different color associated with them in your tradition, that's fine. Use that color. If you don't have a tradition and you need a starting place, red is a great place to start. So, and on your altar, you want to have items that represent your ancestors or that feel ancestral to you. Like I have a rock that is on every altar that I have for my ancestors because it feels ancestral to me. It feels connected to my ancestors. Coins or cowrie shells can be nice. They represent abundance, prosperity, resources. And you want to have offerings, at a minimum, ash for protection, or cornmeal can work as well, and water for peace. And we'll talk more about offerings just in a bit. In the past, I've recommended having photos as well of deceased relatives on the altar, no living people present in the photos. However, now I'm more of the opinion that unless you know that an ancestor is truly well, it might be better to not have their photo there, at least at first. However, if having a photo helps you connect in more, do it, especially if you have photos of someone you really loved and did have a loving, positive relationship with while they were living. Remember that this altar, this relationship, is for you too. It's not just for the ancestors. It is where you can go whenever you feel sad, alone, confused, lost, angry, depressed, and find comfort, wisdom, guidance, and love. It is where you are going to begin to recognize how your healthy ancestors feel. And believe me, they feel amazing. There is nothing quite like the pure love and comfort that flows through healthy ancestors. Your altar will become a place of strength and nourishment for you, a place to turn to when times are challenging, a place for celebration too. So keep this in mind when you are choosing what to put on your altar, including photos. Choose items and photos of deceased relatives, if you choose to use photos, that evoke those feelings of love, of joy, of comfort, of protection, and of support for you. So let's talk briefly about other possible offerings that you could make while you're sitting at your altar. You could offer flowers. I mentioned cornmeal already, tobacco, spirits or hard liquor, smoke like sage, incense, copal, milk, honey, traditional foods of your lineage or favorite foods of the ancestors you knew in real life, or other things you feel prompted to give. Keep in mind that offerings are tangible symbols of your love, of your appreciation, and of your gratitude. Offer them from this place within yourself. And the altar can be as small or as or as elaborate as you wish. When I first started connecting with my ancestors, it was simply a red candle. From there, it transformed into a very elaborate and beautiful space for several years. Now, with a toddler, it is once again very, very simple. Actually, right now, it is a rock in my backyard where I make offerings and sit and sing. And again, if you feel called to do individual work with me, we can go deeper into this topic and how to make it work for you and for your life. So the third step is setting boundaries. Or the third guideline or suggestion is setting boundaries. And this suggestion is perhaps the most important one, especially when beginning this work. And this is the step that I missed when I first connected in with my ancestors. So listen up. When we start to call out to and honor and feed our healthy ancestors, we attract not just the attention of the healthy ones, but the unwell ones as well, the ghosts. And again, this isn't something that needs to be alarming. It is something that you need to be aware of, and there are simple steps you can take to protect yourself. The first is simply stating the intention, I do this out loud, every time you go to your altar or speak with your ancestors that you are calling in, speaking with, and feeding only the healthy ancestors of your lineage. The second is a teaching from Maladoma that I found to be very helpful. It involves creating a circle of ash around you whenever you sit at your altar. Ash creates a protective boundary over which only those spirits, those energies you specifically call can cross. So you ash or create your circle with ash, and then you call in only your healthy ancestors. However, not many of us have access to ash these days, and it makes a huge mess in the house. So if you do have access to ash and you are okay with the mess, that's great, and this is a good place to start. If not, I've been told that cornmeal can be used in the same way if you're setting the same intention that it be used as a protective boundary over which only those you are calling can cross. However, this still will create a mess, which may or may not be okay with you. So I'm going to offer some other suggestions. And another suggestion is calling in your personal protectors, if you know who walks with you. If not, that is something we can talk about through a complimentary session as well. But in general, what animals are you attracted to? Especially pay attention to those that have protective medicine like wolf or bear, snake, scorpion. The list goes on and on. Are you an angel person? Call them in. A rock or mineral person? Call on your protective stones and have them physically on your altar as well. Maybe you are a plant person? If so, call on your protective plant allies, like plants with thorns or that sting or that protect boundaries, like yarrow, stinging nettle, devil's club. So there are many ways to be protected while doing this work, and the one that I suggest the most fervently and that I recommend you use either on its own or in conjunction with any or all of the ones I just mentioned is dropping as fully into your body and into the present moment as possible. The more we fully inhabit our own space, the space of our body and the space of our surrounding energy field, the less anything else can influence us. And this is a good practice, not just when at your altar, but throughout your entire day. So remember that short grounding exercise I guided you through at the beginning of the call, tuning into your senses, what you see, what you hear, what you feel, dropping into your body through feeling your weight transfer through your pelvis, all of that. Do that. And once you are in your body, centered in the present moment, then call on your protectors, asking them to fortify your boundaries. And from that place of self-connection and embodiment, set the intention to interact only with your healthy ancestors and call them in. So this is a very deep topic in and of itself and one that could warrant its own class. However, what I've outlined regarding protection here will give you a good starting place. So the fourth suggestion or guideline is to regularly feed your healthy ancestors. And we feed our ancestors through making offerings, typically but not always at our altar like I already described. However, there's other ways of feeding them. We also want to share our lives with them, Tell them our woes and our pain. Tell them about the stuck and painful parts of our lives, especially these patterns of struggle and pain that we suspect aren't just ours, but that are of our lineage. Ask for their help and guidance for all parts of your life. Share stories of celebration and good things as well. Give them your tears, your heartbreak, your joy, your laughter. They were once human. They understand and can hold you in all of your humanness. Other ways of feeding them might include creating a song for them, or as you practice listening to them, they might give you a song to sing back to them. Just listening to them is a great way to feed too, just sitting quietly and listening for guidance and inspiration and wisdom from them. Giving them the opportunity to heal you, like sitting there and saying, this is going on in my life and I need your help. Letting them be an elder and a guide for you. Also, when you are in nature and feeling really alive, you can send them some of that energy. Same thing with meditating or after working out. Whenever you feel good, share that with them. So truly, there are infinite ways to feed and honor this relationship. How do you tend and celebrate the people in your life who you love? Through gifts, food, phone calls? Do that for your ancestors as well. And if you deepen into this relationship and practice listening to them for guidance and wisdom, they will let you know what they want from you as well. All right, we're coming to the end of this class, and we have covered a lot of ground. We've talked about how to identify patterns of multi-generational trauma in your life and lineage. We talked about how these wounds originally occurred and are transmitted across generations. We talked about hungry ghosts and why all the likely very good healing work you've done so far hasn't led to the healing you desired. We've established that we all do have healthy ancestors, and we've talked about 4 concrete steps you can take to begin to establish a conscious relationship with your healthy ancestors. And we're going to begin to wrap things up now. So for those of you who know that you want more support and are ready to go deeper, as you probably already know, I'm opening up my schedule this week to offer a limited number of complimentary one-on-one sessions. And this is a 30 to 45 minute private session where we look at the struggles in your life through the lens of multi-generational healing, where I'll give you some tools and next steps specific to your situation, and if it feels right to you, I will share how we can continue to work together. And I've already had a lot of people apply, and I have maybe 1 or 2 sessions left this week, so please do apply if you are interested in this. And to apply, you can email me at larissa@larissanoonan.com and answer these 3 questions. And these are the same questions that I asked you earlier in the class. So 1 on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being no impact and 10 being off the charts impact, how much of an impact do you see your lineage having on your life? 2, what do you see as the biggest struggle or most stuck pattern in your life? And 3, if you could wave a magic wand and this problem or pattern would be gone, how might your life look or feel? And these questions are also in the email I sent out to you, and will be, and it's on the gift page as well with the audio lesson. So the deadline for applying for one of these sessions is tomorrow, Tuesday, by midnight. So if you have any other questions, either about this content in general or what it might be like to work with me, you can email me at, again, larissa@larissanoonan.com, and I'll respond to you within 24 to 48 hours. So it has been such a pleasure being here with you today, and I really want to thank all of you who are listening live, and I want to thank those of you who are listening to the replay as well. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here with me and to listen to this class. It is a topic that's very close to my heart, and that I feel holds so much importance and potential for healing, not only of our individual lives, but for our families, for the community, and for our earth. And I wish you all to heal any pain and to shift any blocks that stand in the way of you knowing and fully living your purpose. And I want to see every one of you standing in your true, natural, sacred power, supported by your healthy ancestors, by your community, and by the earth. And remember, you can do this. You are not alone. And do reach out if you would like to go deeper with me through a complimentary one-on-one session. Okay, thanks once more. Be gentle with yourself, and have a good night. Goodbye.